J-Stock is brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. Show Ali and Josh Goldberg here with you. As the Toronto Blue Jays beat the Chicago White Sox 6-2, they even the series at one game apiece. And Josh, that game, I gotta say, got the old heart rate up more than I think it has been on a regular Wednesday night in the beginning of June.
I would say, and I put it out on Twitter, actually, Goldberg12, at SNS Ali with two L's. That's the biggest win of the season. I know that they had that comeback, I guess was it last week, against the Marlins in the ninth inning to win that game. But considering you lost 3 of 4, White Sox are a really good club. Lance Lynn was excellent. It wasn't looking great, right? The offense wasn't really there, 2-1. And then the White Sox just kind of let you back into it. A lot of walks, a questionable 3-0 green light for Teoscar Hernandez that got bailed out by a horrible throw by Anderson. More errors, more insurance runs, a big time 6-2 win. And you got a chance now to win the series. So for my money, that's the most important, best signature win so far through the first about 60 games of the season.
Alek Manoah, I would say, who got the start, he had a much better game than his outing against the Marlins. No, certainly not quite as good as his debut against the Yankees. Tonight he went 5 innings, allowing 4 hits, 2 runs, 1 earned. He allowed 2 walks and racked up 4 Ks. So again, a decent outing for someone making his third ever Major League Baseball start. So certainly props to Alek Manoah for kind of, he looked like he was losing his control at certain times, and he kind of seemed to gather himself and then come back with a strike. So that's one thing, that confidence, the poise that I've really liked from Alek Manoah this far in his young career. But I mean, you and I spent a large portion of the pregame talking about the bullpen, right? Talking about how the bullpen needed to do something. The bullpen needed to either, they needed to bring in a guy, they needed to get a guy back from injury, or as I said to you, they just need to plain pitch better. And I got to say, you heard it, Buck, recap it there at the end of the game. Anthony Castro, Tyler Chatwood, Jordan Romano, and Tim Mayza each pitch an inning, a full inning. None of them let up any hits, couple of walks. Romano had a walk, Mayza had a walk, but that's it. That was absolutely terrific from guys. Certainly, I think you expect it more from Castro and Romano, but from Chatwood in particular, I was very impressed with what Chatwood did. 3 up, 3 down. He was terrific tonight.
Dude, this season is just, it's on its head. I have no idea what to expect on a game-to-game basis. The bullpen stunk last night, stunk the joint up, blew the game for all intents and purposes, right? It was a 1-0 game. Ray gives up the homer, but then the bullpen melts down, gives up 5. And then after the 5th inning tonight, 4 innings of hitless, scoreless baseball. It's, I have no idea what to make of it. Chatwood certainly was very encouraging. Got some swings and misses against the bottom of the order, but still just looked way sharper. His command was good. He was attacking like the pitcher we saw earlier in the season before things really started to unravel around the middle of May. And then Castro, I think, is really good. We talked about it pregame, sample size still not being super, super large in terms of necessarily trusting him in all these high leverage spots. But that slider is a really good weapon. And if he could just command a little bit better and control walks, he's under 4 per 9 innings. That's the magic number for me. If he can keep it around or under 4, then I think he's going to be a very good pitcher, because he's hard to square up. If he's really sharp with his stuff, he's going to be good. So I don't have really any concerns in that regard. But yeah, he was good tonight, and Romano was good enough when he needed to be, even though his command was struggling. And then Mayza walks the leadoff guy and then bounces back. So really, really good stuff from the bullpen.
All right, so one thing we like to do here on Jays Talk, as we break it down here, presented by your Ontario Honda dealers. Jays win at 6-2, and again, you can always text us at 590-590, name and location. But one thing we like to do, Josh, is the player of the game. And I have a, maybe this is a stranger player of the game for me, but I'm going to give it to Riley Adams. I think based on what I have seen out of Riley Adams in his young major league career, I think he has been absolutely phenomenal. I know they won 6-2. I know he didn't score any of the runs, but based on the fact that he, hustled in on the K in the 8th, the spark, basically the comeback, right? He had the great mound visit by him, certainly with Jordan Romano just not being able to locate any kind of strikes, it feels like. I really do feel like Riley Adams is going to be my guy for the player of the game. So I don't know about you, but I loved Riley Adams tonight. Again, he just showed a lot of great plate discipline as well. I'm going to think that, you know, you might go somewhere else. And I think Josh is having some issues with his headphones here as well. So we'll get him back in a second. But, while Josh figures that out, and I'm going to get his player of the game in a second, I also got to say, just in general, people, okay, Lance Lynn went 7 innings, allowing 4 hits, 1 earned run, and the one earned run was the solo home run to Randall Grichuk, who was, of course, the walk-off guest we're seeing right now with Hazel May. So we might hear from Randall a little later on in Jays Talk. We're going to go until 12:15 a.m. Eastern here across the Sportsnet Radio Network. But again, 7 innings, 4 hits, 1 earned run, 0 walks, and 9 strikeouts. So Lance Lynn showing everyone, once again, why he is one of the best pitchers in the AL, maybe even all of Major League Baseball. And despite his best efforts, he comes away with a no decision. It's absolutely crazy. So I think Lance Lynn, good for him for being able to do what he did. But once he came out of the game, this game really went topsy-turvy. I mentioned Alek Manoah's start as well. Again, the stats, 5 innings, 4 hits, 2 runs, 1 earned. He allowed 2 walks and racked up 4 Ks. And Randall Grichuk was the walk-off guest. We'll hear from him a little later on. Josh, I want to ask you, do you think, Josh Goldberg is back with me here on Jays Talk, do you think Randall Grichuk deserves to be an all-star? I think that maybe he might. Like, I think he's top 10 in the league in RBIs. He had his 13th home run of the season tonight. Where are you at on Mr. Randall Grichuk?
You know what? I was thinking about this. I looked up in terms of American League outfielders WAR. Coming into tonight, he was, I believe, 13th, which is pretty good. I don't know if I would necessarily, you know, call that all-star worthy, but I don't know. You look at teams that usually get multiple all-stars, like Vladdy's going to be voted in as a starter, undoubtedly. We know that.
Yep.
Maybe Marcus Semien gets in as a reserve with the way he's playing. Those are locks. Then pitchers, you never know. Ryu, I think, probably has a chance. And then bullpen, maybe Romano if he keeps pitching well, but hard to say. If you're hovering around 500, how many all-stars do you realistically expect?
Right.
A couple at most. If you're an exciting team, I think you have a chance, but I think Vladdy and Semien are, I wouldn't say Vladdy's a mortal lock. Simeon's pretty close considering the season that he's had so far. He'd really have to tail off here in the next 4 or 5 weeks, but I think the next couple weeks will really be the determining factor. If the Jays can rocket up the standings a little bit, then maybe Randall Grichuk has a claim. But he's got the sexy counting stats, right? Home runs and RBIs usually drive that kind of conversation, and he's certainly doing a good job in that category. So maybe he does have a better chance regardless of what the record is.
I think he might have a case. I'm not going to say he's a bona fide mortal lock, certainly, but I think based on his play so far this season, I've really enjoyed it. I think a lot of people have really enjoyed it. So I think he is at least deserving of being in the conversation. And certainly I think the Jays, wherever they are, I think they're going to have to, you know, we're going to have that conversation a little later on. But I want to ask you, Riley Adams was my player of the game. Who are you going to go for your player of the game?
So Riley Adams, a good pick. I feel like Bo is, I'm not going to go as far as to say he's figured something out, but he looks like he's heating up a little bit, and I've really liked his approach there in the later part of the ball game there in the eighth inning with two outs, or one out rather, after Riley Adams reached on the wild pitch, which was a really heads up play from somebody playing their second major league game. Semien gets this infield single, and then Bo, his two strike approach is really good, and it has to be because he's among the league leaders in terms of having two strikes against him, but he seemed to have a kind of two strike approach in that situation there in the first pitch of the at bat against Bummer. And he goes the other way with a sharp single to right field, loads up the bases. And then obviously Vladdy draws the walk. And then we talked a little bit about the 3-0 green light. And then that allowed you to really take the lead for good, but 3 hits tonight, OPS just around 800 again, climbing in the right direction. So I'm going to give the nod to Bo tonight.
Josh going with Bo Bichette. I'm going with the rookie, Riley Adams, calming things down at the plate. We're going to step aside. When we come back, we'll get to some of your texts here. 590, 590, name and location. I see some about that 3-0 count for Teoscar. And I'm sure you have some thoughts, some extra thoughts on that as well, Josh. So we'll get to all of your texts as well coming up next on Jays Talk, Show and Josh across the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Little known fact, if you scream at the umpires through your radio, they can totally hear you.
Oh, you call that a strike?
This is Toronto Blue Jays baseball on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
The 3-0 on the way, and he swung at it and hit a ground ball to second, and then an errant throw as the Blue Jays catch another huge break, and two runs are going to score on the play. And it is 4-2 Blue Jays in the eighth inning. Oh, what a break.
Welcome back to Jays Talk across the Sportsnet Radio Network. Show and Josh here with you as the Jays win it 6-2, taking advantage of several Chicago White Sox mistakes. You heard a huge one there as Teoscar Hernandez, Josh, swung on a 3-0 pitch. And I got to say, I'm sitting here in the studio. Tom is sitting here, our technical director, Josh Santos, is here. And we all are flabbergasted that he swung at that pitch. And I got to say, I looked at the text line. And again, we're taking your text, 590, 590. I think everyone agrees. What on earth was Teoscar Hernandez thinking on that pitch?
Well, I don't exactly know, right, who is the one that I guess is calling the shots there, right? Is it Charlie? Is it Teoscar? I don't know who gave the go-ahead in that situation in terms of the green light, but, you know, he just wasn't close at all on any of those three pitches. And when the pitcher has such poor command in that situation, you just can't be swinging. You just got to have a little bit better recognition. And even if you get the green light from the dugout, from the manager, whoever's thrown out the signals, just maybe have a little situational awareness, or maybe it was Teoscar's decision, and just think, well, this guy hasn't been remotely close here, and he ends up swinging at a 3-0 pitch that was on the outside part of the plate, kind of a sinker, and it just wasn't a good pitch. And maybe they were trying to play on that aggressiveness and hoping that he would roll over a ball, which is exactly what happened. And that almost changed the entire complexion of the inning. And thankfully, Anderson had that horrible throw. But yeah, that just can't happen.
I think Dan actually said it on the air. I think he said he believes that if Teoscar, if they didn't airmail the throw, that game, the game probably would have still been tied, right? It would have been tied 2-2. We wouldn't have gotten the call we had just heard coming back from break. And maybe the game plays out a little differently, right? I saw the Blue Jays Twitter account send out a tweet saying, no, Justin Fields is not playing out there for Chicago, which made me chuckle. In case if you're not a football fan, Justin Fields is maybe going to be the starting quarterback, right? He's certainly their young, sexy young quarterback, right? Which made me chuckle a little bit. Maybe more shades of Rex Grossman playing out there for the Chicago White Sox. Again, the Jays winning it 6-2. I said we get to your text messages, and I see a whole bunch here. I see some pretty funny ones about the Teoscar Hernandez swing here. One from Tom in Toronto. Who is coaching this team? Teoscar is swinging at ball four is unconscionable in a tie game with the bases loaded on a 3-0 count. Who is making these idiotic decisions? Yeah. And I see another one here from Wolf in Toronto. Blue Jays caught a huge break on the Tim Anderson throwing error. I don't understand giving him the green light when the pitcher could not find the strike zone the previous three pitches. I agree. I 100% agree. I don't get it. Let him throw a couple more pitches with the strike zone being, you know, what it was tonight, and the pitcher not being able to locate stuff. We just talked about it a little bit, but I'm willing to say that it maybe was mostly Teoscar Hernandez. Like, we don't 100% know who made that decision. I doubt we ever will, but I'm probably more willing to put that on Teoscar than I am anyone else right now.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, he probably has to wear it more than anyone in that situation. I don't disagree with you. You know, it would have been the easy, I guess, topic of conversation if they didn't go on to win the game. It's more of a footnote. This is just such a weird game, right? It took a really weird turn. It seemed to be a pretty conventional baseball game through the first 6-7 innings, with Lance Lynn pitching like one of the best pitchers in the American League, which is what he's been so far. And then it just got drunk there in the late stages and then took a real wild turn. and nice for a change for the Blue Jays to be on the right side of a weird baseball game like that and not finding a way to lose a game like that, but actually finding a way to win a game.
I certainly hope that in the not too distant future, if slash when the Blue Jays lose a close game, because I mean, you know, a lot of games left, it's going to happen at some point. I hope, and people are texting in and they say, oh, the Blue Jays should have won that game. Well, this is probably a game they should have lost, right? If you're like looking at it from both ends, and I know, like, it's hard to be rational when it comes to close losses and close wins, right? You always think when it's, you know, quote unquote, your team, you always think, man, they're the best team in the world when they win and that they're the worst team in the world when they lose. So it's just always important, I guess, to keep some perspective, I think. But even so, as they win 6-2 tonight and taking advantage of multiple Chicago White Sox errors, including the one we just heard there coming back from break, I think always nice to get one of these kinds of wins. What are you, get the text line open? What are other people saying on the text line tonight?
So we got one here from Aaron in Toronto. Hey, Josh, you said Simeon is a reserve. I'm pretty sure Simeon is the AL starter at second base. He has a 0.8 higher WAR than the next closest, who is Altuve. And I just think that fan voting, maybe Jays fans will swoop in and get Marcus Simeon in, but I just feel like a more, I don't know, established household type of name to casual younger baseball fans might edge out Marcus Simeon. I know Jose Altuve's a cheater and absolutely I wouldn't vote for him, but I still think that there's a chance that a lot of people do vote for him. I think Marcus Simeon will be an all-star. I hope it's as the starter, but I would still be more surprised than not if that was the case.
What do you think the chances are of not only the Blue Jays fan base voting for him, but maybe the Athletics fan base voting for him as well? Any chance of that, you think?
Yeah, I could see that, right?
He's think beloved that, there, right?
Yeah, A's fans were not happy to see him go, right? Considering he signed basically for what the qualifying offer would have been, and the A's didn't offer that qualifying offer. So yeah, I could definitely see that. He's got the California roots. Maybe that is, and especially, you know what, as I'm thinking about this, to screw over Altuve and the Astros, right? More than anything else, division rival that you're going to be battling it out with all season long. Maybe there's something there, because the A's don't really have a household second baseman that's going to be an all-star. So maybe they pool some support together for Marcus Simeon. That's a good call.
Yeah, so if you know some Oakland fans, hey, text them right now and say, hey, get your butts and vote for Simeon on the I think if you can vote for them on MLB.com. So if you want to vote for any Blue Jays on the All-Star team, that's where you want to do it. I see some more texts here on the text line, and again, 590-590, name and location, please. I see two here, from one from Peter in Toronto. Very big win. Need some of those to start breaking your way. 100% agree. I see one here from Sinan. I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly. And they say, way to take advantage of the mistakes from Chicago, listening all the way in Baghdad in Iraq, which is pretty cool. So yep. Thank you for listening. I'm not sure what time it is there. It might be really early in the morning, I want to say. So thank you for listening. And one from Robert in Ajax. Robert wants to talk about the bullpen, and we kind of give that some words at the early on. So he says, Chatwood looked great out there today. If he's back on track with Castro, Romano, Chatwood, and Dolis, the Jays would have more options out of the bullpen. Hopefully it's enough to get the Jays to a point where Barucci and Merriweather return. And it's true. I mean, doesn't it just feel like, as of late, like certainly before tonight, and tonight definitely gives you more excitement to think that the Jays bullpen is going to be better in the near future. But it really felt like they were just stringing together starts from the bullpen from game to game, essentially. Not even like week to week, but like day to day, essentially, right? So for them to get four hitless innings out of the bullpen to end this game, a 6-2 win, that's remarkable. I got to say, that's absolutely stunning.
Yeah, like I said earlier, I just have no vibe anymore with this bullpen on a game-to-game basis. They were terrible last night, and then from the sixth inning on, no hits, no runs. So your guess is as good as mine right now on a game-to-game, series-to-series basis. Not even series-to-series. Let's break it down inning by inning. You should get a good inning in the sixth or seventh, and then a bad inning in the eighth. And no Dolis tonight. A lot of people have been saying that the Jays have 1.5 reliable relievers right now between Romano, Dolis, sometimes. Maybe we can round it up to two. Half is Dolis, and let's give Anthony Castro some due credit maybe he's the other half, and you've got two really reliable relievers between those two, almost equating one reliable reliever. But I have no outside of Romano still. I just don't know what I'm going to get from a lot of these guys on a night-to-night basis. But Castro is starting to, I think, get himself more firmly into the circle of trust.
I think so, too. I definitely agree, especially what we saw from him tonight. I think we maybe both would have expected to see him pitch last night, and unfortunately we didn't, but he was great tonight, as we've been talking about. A full inning from him, hitless inning, and hitless innings from Meza, Chatwood, and Romano as well. Let's step aside here, Josh, but we're still taking your texts, 590-590. I see a one from Ruben in Alberta, Craig from Calgary, Andrew in BC, so a whole bunch of people from all over Canada texting in after a big Blue Jays 6-2 win over the White Sox. Blue Jays, Jays Talk continues next on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Pacing stressfully in front of your radio is a totally normal way to listen. You stress because you care. Toronto Blue Jays baseball's on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Welcome back to Blue Jays baseball. Jays Talk here, presented by your local Ontario Honda dealers. I'm just so used, Josh, to saying welcome back to Blue Jays baseball. But you are listening to Jays Talk across the Sportsnet Radio Network. Show and Josh here for a little while longer, about 10 more minutes. Here on the East Coast or Eastern time zone, we are just past midnight. But again, I appreciate everyone staying up late with us, because I see texts I mentioned before the break from Alberta, from certainly from Calgary as well. I see Quebec. I see BC, Brampton, Barrie, Caledonia here in Ontario. So great stuff from the fans, who are clearly pumped up after a big 6-2 Blue Jays win over the Chicago White Sox at Guaranteed Rate Field. Josh, I see some text here. Let's see. I see one from McKenzie in Brampton. I don't want to hear any Ross Atkins, Mark Shapiro slander. They have done a great job since they got here. I trust them to address the rotation and bullpen when it's necessary and when the Blue Jays are ready to compete. I agree. Keith from Barrie wants to talk about Riley Adams. And again, I gave Riley Adams the player of the game nod tonight. And Keith says, can we all just agree that Riley Adams is the better all-around catcher of Jansen, Kirk, and McGuire? Where do you stand on that one?
Okay, Riley Adams has been great through two games. Offensively, he's been great, and I haven't noticed any real issues in terms of framing or receiving. Well, one game, actually. He caught one game. Reese McGuire, right. I actually thought was terrible defensively tonight, especially early in the ballgame. But one game, and then he comes on, obviously, in a pinch-hit situation. But come on. Like, I understand that. The he hit a ball hard last night. He struck out and then obviously reached on a wild pitch. And then what did he worked a walk in the ninth inning there.
Yep.
And had a good at bat. And he's had three really good at bats, but still one start. Danny Jansen is a good defensive catcher. Maybe Riley Adams can be, but he hasn't really. That's not his calling card. If you could meld the two together, that would be great. But unless Riley Adams absolutely tears the cover off the ball for as long as Danny Jansen is here, like, maybe you DFA Reese McGuire, like we talked about with Arden pregame.
Right, right.
Maybe that's the move. But Danny Jansen is still going to play. He's still going to catch Hyunjin Ryu's starts. Maybe Riley Adams can carve out into a timeshare. But I don't think one game and three good at-bats is enough to just say definitively Riley Adams is a better catcher even than Kirk, too, who a lot of fans were clamoring for, and rightly so, and just say he's now the catcher. And then will it be Gabby Moreno when he's ready to come?
Man.
I just think you piece it together now. Jansen will still be the 1A, but I do think that there is an opportunity, and at least until Kirk comes back, for Riley Adams to really make this an interesting conversation.
I'll say this at least. I think Riley Adams has a real chance to be more than just a big boy with a good swing. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's kind of what people were boiling it down to when he got called up yesterday. He's like 6'4", he's 240 pounds, he's a black belt in karate, right? And it's just, what are you going to expect from him? He had that booming double yesterday. And I do agree that the ceiling is probably higher than we initially thought for the 18th-ranked prospect for the Blue Jays on MLB Pipeline. But, yeah, I also agree with you. Look, maybe we should pump the brakes just a teensy bit, even though I am excited by what I've seen out of Riley Adams. Let's get to some more texts. I see one from Ruben in Alberta. He says, Teo would have been safe anyways on the 3-0 swing. Jace doubled the Sox in hits and also gave them a run in the first. Gave up only 4 hits to the Sox. Well-deserved win. That's from Ruben in Alberta. Craig from Calgary, feels good to finally be on this side of a giveaway game. 100% agreed, Craig. Mm-hmm. Going from losing the series to a chance to win it with the ace tomorrow, Hyunjin Ryu, going for the Jays. That's huge. That's from Craig in Calgary. Absolutely agree. I see one from Eric in Gatineau, Quebec. Can't overlook the sweet defensive play by Simeon in the 9th. That was a key play and prevented a really nervous situation. Agreed. I mean, Josh, look, I've been singing Simeon's praises since before spring training, and I'm very happy that even though, you know, hasn't gotten off to the same start in June that he had for all of May, still again coming through in the clutch, it felt like.
Yeah, that's just, he's Mr. Reliable, right? He rarely makes a misstep defensively. That's really the most consistent part of his game. I know offensively this year he's been super consistent, but he's always, well, you know, the last couple of years there, he had those yips at shortstop for Oakland, but once he really found his groove, he's become a really good, reliable defensive player, and that was obviously a big part of the reason that the Blue Jays decided to sign him and move him to second base. And he's talked about adjusting to second base and the different angles and turning different double plays. And he looks like a wily vet at second base and hadn't played it in years and picked up right where he left off and is deserving of being an all-star, not just offensively, but defensively. And yeah, absolutely an excellent play. And I just thought in the first inning when Vladdy boots that ball that Manoah threw to him, maybe not the best throw, it was a little hard and low, but still, with the way Vladdy's played first base, you expect that play to be made. And then McGuire, I don't know if they got their signals crossed or whatever happened there. He drops a strike, and then Anderson ends up scoring on the RBI base hit. You're just thinking, well, that can't happen. That's terrible. You're compounding careless mistakes on top of each other against a good ball club with their ace on the mound. And, you know, the kudos to the Jays. We talked about this so many times. 2-1, even it just seemed like a more daunting deficit with the way the last couple of games have gone offensively. And then all of a sudden, bing, bang, boom, they get 5 unanswered, win 6-2. It's a resilient bunch. A lot of people were very, very critical last night, and I was getting a lot of interaction that the Jays are not focused on winning, and they're not interested in wins above all else, and they're not good enough, and they're not going to make the playoffs, and all this and all that. And maybe that will end up being the case, but this is the whole 9 yards of being a fan. You get really high sometimes with the wins, but you definitely get lower with the losses. And it's a new game. You know, the slate is wiped clean every day. That's what's so amazing about the game of baseball. You can't really ever predict it. And people were not expecting the Jays to come back the way that they did. And now it sets them up very nicely tomorrow with Ryu on the mound. But who knows, right? It's baseball. You expect that Ryu will give you a chance to win, but that's why I love baseball so much. I feel like among all the sports, it's the hardest one to predict, sometimes on an inning-to-inning basis, let alone on a game-to-game basis.
Yeah, I haven't looked at the Baseball Savant win probability, like that chart that updates as the game goes, but I bet you if you look, I bet there are some wild graph swings on that chart because of how things were going tonight. Jay's trailing for much of this game, 2-1, but they end up winning 6-2. Let's get to a couple more texts. We got about 5 minutes left here on Jay's Talk, presented by your Ontario Honda dealers. Show Ali and Josh Goldberg here with you on the Sportsnet Radio Network. I got an international text here, Josh. Brian from Aruba, where does Springer hit in the lineup when he returns in August? And I think we can probably tie in this one from Andrew in Kamloops, BC. He says, I'm a Teoscar fan. However, with George Springer perhaps on the way back, maybe the solution is moving Teo out of the cleanup spot. I think Guerrero has earned it, and Springer belongs in the leadoff spot. Simeon, Bichette all move down one. Grichuk goes to 6. So what are your thoughts with the batting order construction? We're always going to get those questions, right? Batting order is always going to be at the top of people's mind, especially with a very, very talented hitting group, let's say, like the Blue Jays have. So where are you at on some of these suggestions from Andrew and from Brian?
Okay, let's just start with Brian's little dig there at Springer saying August. George Springer will be back before August. George Springer will probably be back before July. I don't. It sounds, you know, we're getting all these vague updates. Hopefully, a rehab assignment. Maybe as soon as Friday. Maybe they're just playing it close to the vest. I think there's a chance we could see George Springer in the next week, or two,
sure,
at
maybe
the
two
most.
Weeks.
I think he's very much on the horizon. Yeah, so yeah. Whenever he returns, I'm on the record of saying this. I think he leads off. I don't want Vladimir Guerrero Jr. cleaning up. If I'm moving him from the three spot, which I'm not really itching to do, I'm not really hot to trot to do that, it would be to second. But I think you keep him three. Springer leads off. Simeon bats second. Then Teoscar's a good cleanup hitter. I know he's had a couple of tough games here, but he's still my cleanup guy, and I think that he's proven that that's a good spot for him. And then I like Bo batting fifth. I wonder if you can sell him on that, because he's batted in the top tier of the lineup basically since he got up here, for the most part.
Yeah, yeah.
But one through five, I like that aggressive style with opportunities to cash in runners. I know he's a table setter. He's third, I believe, in the majors in runs scored entering tonight. So that will be an adjustment, but I can flip-flop Bo and Simeon if need be, but as long as Simeon is hitting the way that he's hitting, I'll bat him second and I'll bat Bo fifth.
Yeah, you know what? I think I'm on board with moving Bo down in the order. Again, it's not because you're not punishing the guy or anything like that, but I just think based on how everyone has played, having him bat a little lower in the order, so you're going Springer, Simeon, Guerrero, Teoscar, Bo, Grichuk, basically, is what you're doing when Springer comes back.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I think I'm on board with that. Yeah. Because Bo Bichette has been fine, and I know you gave him the player of the game nod on your end. But yeah, I think he's still too many 0-2 counts for my liking. I think it's going to improve, but he has seen more 0-2 pitches than I think almost any player in Major League Baseball. Maybe he's like second at this point, but still, it's too much for my liking right now.
And here's what I'll say defensively when Springer's back. He plays center, obviously. A lot of people have said, well, maybe with Lourdes struggling offensively, he comes out. You saw the arm tonight. Lourdes Gurriel Jr. can save you runs with that arm. Teoscar moves out for me. As long as Grichuk is hitting at some level like this, he plays right, Lourdes plays left, Grichuk DH, or rather Teoscar DHs and occasionally spells one of those two guys in the corners. I want Lourdes in left. That arm is a huge asset.
You've been listening to Blue Jays Baseball, powered by Jack Links. Send hunger down to the minors and feed your wild side. That's it for Jays Talk. Good stuff from Josh Goldberg. Jays beat the White Sox 6-2 in Chicago. We look ahead to tomorrow's game, Hyunjin Ryu versus Dallas Keuchel in the mound matchup. Enjoy the evening, everyone. We'll talk to you tomorrow night.